Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Our buddy Kevin Harlan, who joined us last week. Boy, it was a great conversation with him. Of course, he was on the call for CBS. Titans get it done. 34-3 over those paper champions. The Dolphins look like toilet paper in the rain. Oh, wait a minute. It was raining, and maybe they were toilet paper in the rain. Didn't look like a top 10 team to me. Right, Chase?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, that's all we got. Huh? That's the fight you got in you? You're right.
Yeah, you're right.
Darren McFarland, I mean, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe, who's given up. He's just throwing in the towel.
I have given up on the Miami Dolphins.
You should. Elijah Campbell back at our Hillside Medical Game Studios. Titans win in dominant fashion. They get it done. The number one seed is not only in their sights, it's in the driver's seat with them, man. It's in the passenger seat. They've got the seatbelt on. And all the Titans have to do is just take care of business. That's it. Go to Houston and beat the Texans. Now, I wish the Texans were playing like the Jags, and they were just kind of calling it a season. But it looks like the Texans are still playing for Culley. So they're going to get a team that's still going to play for their coach, which, you know, they are professionals. They should. But that's not how it always works. But look, let's be honest. The Titans still should need to go. They need to go down there. A team that's already beat them this year here. They need to go down there and take care of business. Get the extra week off, be the one seed, watch everybody beat their brains in the wild card weekend, and then get ready for round two, hopefully, with the return of Keen Henry. That sounds pretty good to me.
Sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
Sounds fantastic.
Like, I'll sign up for that all day. Where do I sign?
Yeah, and I'll say this, and all kidding aside, I mean, we've obviously had a lot of fun the last few weeks with the top 10, and I deserve everything coming my way, and I will take it because that's the kind of person I am. But that yesterday's result, like I said all last week, the Titans should win this game. Yesterday's result is exactly what you wanted to see as a Titans fan. They got that swagger back. Now, can they do that against Kansas City? Can they do that, you know, against the upper echelon of the AFC when it really matters? You know, if they see the Patriots again, can they do that against the Patriots with or without King Henry in the lineup? That's what you want to see. But that Titans team, even in those conditions, should have handled the Miami Dolphins like they did yesterday. So I was glad to see it. I was glad that they could have that swagger going into the last week and have a chance to be the number one team in the AFC. And I heard, you know, I've seen people on Twitter saying, well, you know, that hasn't really worked out for them in the past. You still with
yeah, but they're not going to play the Ravens.
They're so not going to play the Ravens. And with as banged up as this team has been, you want that extra week.
Well, they may be the healthiest they've been all year going into the playoffs.
I know.
Which sounds ridiculous, well, but it may be true.
And think about the pipe dream that we all talked about of like, well, what if they do get Bud Dupree upright and healthy? And what if they do get, you know, I know Julio Jones, whatever.
Who?
Exactly. Derrick Henry, all these guys, the offensive line. I mean, they were even rotating some different guys in on the offensive line, and I thought they played a good game. But if they get all that going into the playoffs and have this team, you know, not 100% because nobody is, but pretty darn healthy. I mean, that's like the you basically have hit the button on Madden to clear all injuries. I mean, that's what's happening here, and in you know, having Henry would just be the cherry on top. So it does feel like it's all aligning for them to make a run. It's just, can Tannehill take care of the football? Can they have guys other than A.J. Brown and maybe Derrick Henry, you know, step up and continue to make plays? That's what you're going to have to see. But you got to feel good about it. And by the way, I did hear this morning Mike Vrabel, I think, is 3-1 now to win Coach of the Year. I mean,
he should win Coach of the Year.
He should totally win Coach of the Year.
You tell me. So the team that's rifled through more players on their roster than any team in the league and in the history of the league – They're going to be the number one seed in the AFC, and we're really questioning when we've had the whole Chiefs and, you know, we've had different phases of the love affair in the AFC where, you know, Chiefs get most of the love, and rightfully so. They deserve it. I mean, they've been to the Super Bowl 2 years in a row. I mean, okay, they got the skins on the wall, but everybody has been, you know, given every reason in the 8-game winning streak before they lost finally to Cincinnati. And boy, that was
an awesome game.
There was a lot of things on that were drunk. I know it was like the New Year's Eve theme. Well, like that continued in like the sports. Well, there's a lot of drunk things I saw over the weekend, and the ending to that game was just drunk. The ending to the Music City Bowl was just drunk. I mean, there was a lot of things. Antonio Brown,
Ohio State, Utah.
Drunk. Ohio State, Utah, drunk. I mean, it was like we were just all blitzed out of our minds all weekend long watching, you know, stuff transpire in sporting events. I mean, it was crazy. But, you know, then there was the Patriots love affair, right? When they were dominating everybody and they were the one seed. And, oh, my gosh, you know, they're going to be the number one seed. And it was the Patriots and Patriots and Patriots. And there for a while, early on in the year, it was going to be the Bills, Bills, Bills. And not once has anybody really been talking about the Titans all year, because when that talk would have started, let me just preface it by saying this, when that talk, which is why I was so deflated on that Monday show after the news 9 weeks ago, is that's when all the talk would have started, right? Mm-hmm. It was right then when everybody would have started jumping nationally on the Titans bandwagon of, oh, this team looks special. Ooh, this team has got the best running back in the league. We know that. They've got this, they've got that. Man, the AFC goes through the Tennessee Titans, and then it never happened because the Derrick Henry, you know, that damn Jones fracture. So, you know, that's when it would have started, but it never got its shelf life. It never happened. So a team that never got any love, that was never, you know, considered to be in this spot, a team that went through more players than anybody else in NFL history in a season, and you're telling me there's a better candidate than Mike Vrabel for Coach of the Year? Huh?
Yeah, there's not.
I want to hear it.
There's not. Now, I'm curious of, you know, what's actually going to happen with it, but there's not. I mean, it's not LaFleur. It's not anybody else. It's not Andy Reid. You know, has Zach Taylor done a really nice coach of the year? I'm not saying he's coach of the year. I'm just saying, has he done a nice job and deserves some credit? Absolutely.
Yeah, of course.
Because they just won the division. And,
sure.
And nobody – I will give a shout-out to my man Rick, because Rick texted me in August and said, put money on the Bengals to win the division. And I said, you're crazy. I said, you're absolutely – we sat in Vegas and he said the same thing. I said, you're crazy. I'm not doing it. It's a waste of money. They're not going to win the division. So kudos to him.
Well, good for you, because he is a Cincinnati guy, and so he's kind of slanted.
But he's not a Bengals fan. He's a Titans fan. So I
really?
Mean, he's just – oh, yeah. Yeah, huh. He was born and grew up in Cincinnati. But, no, he's a Titans fan.
Well, good for – I mean, it would have been – that's – you know, I think you made the right – even though you're going to kick yourself today – at the time, you were making the right call.
Like, I think they were 20 to 1.
I was
going to
say,
you can't
slap money down on the Bengals winning the AFC North.
No.
I mean, I think that's – and how much did he want you to put on it? Like, I understand your pushback, but, hey, he gets the last laugh. Did he do it?
Yeah.
How much did he put down? Do you know?
I don't know.
When it was 20 to 1? Man.
Yeah, I mean
– either way, look, it doesn't matter. Like, if it's 10 bucks, I mean, the return on the investment is going to be well worth it no matter what he put down. Right?
Yeah.
On 20 to 1.
Yeah, no, it for sure. But you talk about being drunk. I mean, the division leaders, you know, you look at the last few years in the NFL, obviously the Chiefs have been there, but you got the Titans, the Bengals, the Bills, Patriots still hanging around and have a chance to win that division. But, I mean, it's just the AFC. I like that you have some new blood in there with the Titans leading the way. But Mike Vrabel has certainly made the case in my mind to win Coach of the Year. I hope they get it right. And that he does, because I saw this too last night. Chris Harris from WSMV Channel 4 put, you know, Henry in his first 8 games, 219 carries, 937 yards, 10 touchdowns. The next 8 games without him, with the running back by committee that they've had, 220 carries, 990 yards, 6 touchdowns.
Yeah, that's been all over the place. I saw Peter Schreger.
But I mean that's impressive.
No,
that is so impressive.
I'm just saying that stat has been put out there since the Titans wrapped it up, and it's pretty. You're right. It's impressive. I mean, it's basically they have not missed a beat, Eight games with Derrick Henry, eight games without. The stats look almost exactly the same, other than the rushing touchdowns, right? There's a little bit of a gap there, but like yards per attempt, rushing yards, rushing attempts, like it's all basically exactly the same.
Yeah.
Except for Derrick Henry had 10 touchdowns and these running backs have had six. Other than that, same exact thing.
Do you happen to have the NFL predictions that we made in front of you? Did I have them?
Yeah.
You guys had 11 wins, right?
Yeah. We both had them, Titans 11 and 5.
And I had 12?
Well, I mean, I'm just going, I have to find it. I have it.
Yeah, I think I went 12. Because I don't have mine in front of me. I have it somewhere too, but I think I went 12, which they could
obviously do. Let me rifle through my pads of paper.
you're good.
Like you I said, I know. Fun. I said, oh, here it is. I got it. Let's see. Willie. We all picked the Titans to win the AFC South.
So we're good there.
I don't have your – well, for whatever reason,
Chase
I don't
has
have
12 and 5, and
say,
Darren and Willie have 11 and 6.
11 and 6. Okay. Sorry, that's right, 17 games.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So
they're going to be right because it's going to – right now, we're
yeah,
right,
they're gonna,
we're going to be wrong.
Yeah, they're going to beat the Texans.
They're going to beat the Texans.
They're going to do it. They're going to be the number one seed in the AFC.
I had Buffalo winning the East, which they still can. I had Pittsburgh winning the North. Yikes. Kansas City, or no, I had the I don't know what I've written down here.
The chicken scratch.
Yeah, this is like chicken scratch.
We all had the Seahawks in the playoffs.
Ooh. We did. We all had Seattle. We know that didn't work out.
So we all picked the Titans to
win
the South.
We had Carolina.
Did we all pick the Chiefs to win the West? Okay.
Yes.
I think I had the Browns.
We all had the Chargers in the playoffs.
Which could happen.
Could happen. Yep.
I think I had Colts and Chargers in.
You had the Colts. You and Willie had the Colts in. I did not. So that's going to bite me. I had Miami. So that's going to bite me.
Yeah, that's not happening.
But we remember we made a big deal about this. The two of us did not have Baltimore in. Willie had Baltimore winning the division. We didn't have them in the playoffs. And I think that's going
to
play out.
I went as far to say Baltimore would finish last in the division, which they're not going to do. But I didn't have them in the playoffs. I was not a believer.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they could technically still finish. They could finish last in the division. I guess that could happen.
By the way, they've lost four games this year by 2 points or less. Yikes. Mm-hmm.
Think about that Colts game. If they have that if the Colts win that game, you know what it looks like too. I mean, they are further down. The Ravens are further down.
Well, what's crazy about the Ravens season is think about the games they pulled out. They had no business, right? And then think about the games they have lost. So basically, they could be either a 12-win team or a 5-win team, 4-win
yeah.
team.
Yeah. No doubt.
Right? If everything goes, it's like either if everything went against them or if everything went for them, they could be either a 12-win team or a bottom of the, you know, barrel in the AFC because that's how close. They basically play on a razor's edge all year. And I get it. They've lost a ton of players, but.
They have. And I mean, that caught up with them. But, you know, my thing with them was always Lamar. You know, can Lamar adapt? And be, you know, continue to evolve and be different. And I just think he is what he is, and he's always going to be that way. And the longer it goes on, you know, the league's going to figure him out. And I'll be honest, I'm not saying they have necessarily a quarterback controversy there, but Huntley's not bad from the small sample size I've seen.
He's a good backup. He's not Lamar, obviously. But he's a good backup.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Yeah,
but he's not Lamar. I mean, let's also say that they've been this losing streak has been without Lamar.
True, very true. But
so he does, you know, this just in, he does make a difference.
Yeah. So and they got to get, you know, their running backs and they just got to get these pieces back.
Well,
and
they're not good. That's the thing we've been talking about all year. They're not right. See, that's like Baltimore. Like at least the Titans when they were losing guys, it was like, well, at least there's hope they're coming back, right?
Sure.
Where with Baltimore, like every injury was like, yep, done for the season, done for the season, done for the season. It was like, yikes. Like that's eventually going to catch up to you. You're not going to be able to overcome that. and it looked like it caught up to him. Now, going back to the Derrick Henry talk, I let me just read the room for a second. I like to read the room.
Okay.
And the room is telling me there's nothing that suggests that Derrick Henry's not coming back. Like, there really isn't. Like,
right.
Usually, like, reading the room, players aren't touching Derrick Henry. Like, it's one thing for Mike Vrabel not to touch the Derrick Henry questions. Like, okay, that's a given. But if you notice, like, the players, like, they're not saying much, but they're also not avoiding the questions. You know what I mean? They're not pretending like there's nothing to see here. If you listen to, like, their words, they're willing to dabble in the Derrick Henry pool.
Yeah.
They're willing to put their toes in the Derrick Henry pool. That means they know something behind the scenes. That's the way I look at it. I don't know if you feel differently, but the way I look at it, the willingness for them to dabble, put their toes in the Derrick Henry pool, tells me they know something behind the scenes. They know what he's been doing. They know what he looks like. We don't. Although I know he has been, I guess, making some appearances. But overall, like, nobody knows, right? But they do. And the reading the room to me, and there's been enough hints nationally.
Speaking of that,
they're getting stuff. They're getting word from somebody that I think he's coming back. Now, I'll stick with what we've already had this conversation, and I don't know if anybody's changed because, yes, the one seed is on the line, but I'm not changing my mind. You got to beat the Texans without Derrick Henry. You get the number one seed, you give him extra time, and then let's roll, right? Bring him in for the playoffs, round two, let's go.
Did you guys hear the report by Melanie Collins at the end of the game? She had, they didn't make a big deal out of it. I would have gone to that report a lot earlier in the game than they did. It was the fourth quarter. The game was over. But she had some detail in there. She said things like, been at the practice field, running full throttle, no limitations. Had the 9-week mark, everything laid out. I thought it was an excellent report that was sort of undersold by CBS and the broadcast. I got the impression that he's ready to go.
Remember, she lives here.
Yes.
She's lived here for 7 years.
Yeah, I thought she did a great job on it. I can't believe they didn't. I would have gone in the middle of the first quarter with that.
Well, they were busy talking about revenge game. I don't know if you guys know this, but Ryan Tannehill came from the Dolphins.
I know that. That's such a non-story here, but I guess that was a story.
I understand. Look, but they
I wouldn't say it's a non-story here.
It's not a non-story. It deserves attention, but like for four quarters, like by the end, it's like, okay, we got it. Like it's his former team. Yeah,
we talked about it last week.
And by the way, when I said that I want Ryan Tannehill, like he's not going to say anything, his coach isn't going to say anything, but I want him behind the scenes privately wanting to stick it to the Dolphins. Remember when I had that conversation last week? Did you listen to some of the players? Basically, A.J. Brown admitted it. He admitted Tannehill wanted to stick it to him at the end.
Good. I mean, exactly. That's exactly what you wanted.
Exactly. But thank you, A.J. Brown. For putting that out there, knowing that, okay, then what I said was true. Like that, and he should. He's a human being. They threw him out with yesterday's garbage. He should be mad. They paid. It's like the movie Money. I'll get Willie in this conversation because I bring up Moneyball. He'll be like, oh, Moneyball. Remember when he went up to David Justice and said, your team paid me to take you.
Yeah. Oh,
How does that make you feel? That team is paying for you to be with us.
I do think that's a great motivator for players. It gets brought up all the time. Hockey, I can cite many examples where I heard that mentioned. Not me bringing it up, but just observing somebody bringing that up to a player's attention. But Ryan Tannehill, that was 3 years ago. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, but it's the first time he's faced.
I know, but that's still, but none of the coaches are there. None of the GMs are there. I mean, there's very little.
It's
to
still
link
the organization,
that.
But yeah,
I get it. I mean, I'm not saying you'd never bring it up, but I don't think that was. I didn't think about it a whole lot last week, to be honest. It's just been so much water under the bridge, but I get it. I just think that report by Melanie was thrown in there at the end of the game, and I'm like, wow, she had some stuff there. She had some detail. I got the impression from that. Now, of course, she was careful how she worded it. She didn't say he'll be ready to go and practice on Wednesday. But in reading between the lines there, I feel like if he needs to be on the practice field on Wednesday, I think he could be out there.
I believe Wednesday you will get the email from Robbie Bourne that says Derrick Henry has been designated to return.
I think so too.
That's that. I feel pretty comfortable.
And I think they've been planning on this for a couple of weeks. If you listen to all of the reports by the people, you know, Tony Romo and Jim Nance, they were going to try to bring something to the table the week, you know, during the Pittsburgh game. They tried. You know, I didn't hear as much of it in the 49ers game, but this narrative has been out there with some of the national reporters. I think they've been working towards this week for a good while now, hoping for no setbacks. And it doesn't appear from the outside that there have been any setbacks.
Diana Russini was here yesterday, Titans beat reporter. You know, she was talking about it. So Cameron Wolf was here again talking about it. So I think it's there and it's all lining up. Whether he, you know, I'm kind of with you, Darren, of we've talked about this of I wouldn't play him.
I'm a no.
You know,
I
wouldn't play
no.
him. Now, I did ask Chris Sanders yesterday when I saw him at the pregame show. I said, and this was off air, obviously. I said, do you really think he needs to play in the last week? And he said, give him a couple series and then get him out.
Nah, no point in that.
You guys know me. I think if he's 100% cleared and you've been shooting for this date, I think he should play.
I would.
If he's ready to go, he's ready to go. And for that matter, it's even better.
By the way,
that you get the bang up. You go ahead and play, and then you could be rewarded with the bye, and then you get that extra week to you know, you take that game shape to a next level. I think that could be ideal.
Well, look, I'm in the camp with you on that. I'm just like you have to be able to beat the Texans without him. Like, I'm a no, even though I believe in what you're saying. I agree with you. I am in the camp of I don't. You know, look, if you're cleared, you're cleared. I don't do the, oh, but what about if you're – like, you can't play that game. Like, there's no way of knowing.
Don't make money.
Exactly. But I'm also saying there's no point in it. Like, go beat the Texans without him. Like, you can. Like, there's no reason why you can't beat them without him. You don't need Derrick Henry to beat the Texans on the final game of the regular season. And, oh, by the way, the team that beat you at your place. That's one of your losses. There shouldn't be much – you don't have to really get a big speech. Number one seed on the line, a team that beat you earlier in the year, and a team that stinks in your division. You don't really need to stand on a chair and give a big speech for that game. It should be pretty much self-motivated. You don't need Derrick Henry to win that game. I give him the extra time, and I make sure that, man, when it's round two, and by the way, you're at home the entire playoffs, you talking about getting the crowd into it, hard ticket, the ticket, Derrick Henry returning, look, that is going to be all anybody can talk about. I save that buzz. I save all that for the playoffs. There's no way I'm suiting him up for in Houston. That's just me.
Yeah.
Well, I'll give you my reasoning. I know we got to go to a break. The reason is not that you need to beat the Texans. You're trying to win a Super Bowl. That's why I would plan.
Well,
this is the best way to get him ready for what's ahead.
Yeah, and if they play him this week, which I don't think they should, I think they will, but if they do, then I think it's like Chris says, you give him a couple series and then you get him the hell out of there. Let him warm up, let him take a couple hits, see how it feels, couple cuts, and then Deontay Foreman the rest of the way.
You really think they're going to play him?
Yeah,
really?
I do. Yeah.
I'd be
curious. I don't agree with
Texas.
It, but yeah, I do.
I want the listeners to – I want to see – let's do a poll. I don't care if we do it on Twitter or text. I want to hear what people – do they – where are people at? Like, I don't know. I don't know what the answers will be. I don't know if this is going to be 50-50. It's going to be a runaway one way or the other. I have no idea what the fans think. What do you think? Are they going to play him? Would you play him? I'd love to know where people – because I do think it is a – it's a pretty good lightning rod question because I think everybody has an opinion one way or the other. All right, we will step away, take our first break. We'll come back and continue the discussion on the other side as you listen to Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. An Anthony Firkser sighting. Yes, that happened yesterday. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, our show presented by Creation CBD. products curated for life. By the way, a lot of people have been reaching out to me about the product. Feel free to do so if you have questions. I'll be more than happy to answer them as much as I can. Because a lot of you have been curious about their product, and I've been more than happy to talk to you about it. By the way, you know we are streaming every day. You know, you can hang out with us. Just watch. We've got plenty of platforms. You know, just give us a watch. By the way, Elijah Campbell, Chase, and Willie at our Hillside Medical Game Studio. Did you guys like the call on Chester Rogers?
The block?
The big play. The block.
I think that's a great thing to bring up because I listened to Gene Serator, and he gave his explanation. And after he gave the explanation, I didn't know whether that was a good call or bad call. He seemed to say that directionally that was the right call, but he said something about a forceful hit and brought that into question. But I will tell you this just from a technical football standpoint, not that I know much about teaching how to block, but to me, that's a perfect block. That should not be penalized. And if I'm Mike Vrabel and I'm talking to the league today, that's exactly what I'm saying. Whatever rule was put in there, I understand about not getting people lit up in the middle of the field with crack backs and things like that. That was nothing close to a dangerous play. He didn't hit him in the back. He didn't light him up. He got in front and sort of got in his way. It's a perfect block. That should not be a penalty.
I totally agree. But I don't understand. Once again, we have this conversation all the time. I don't know what you want a player to do.
You twist yourself into knots with all these rules. You're overanalyzing. That's a good block.
And if you train these guys to that they're thinking, oh, I'm going to get called for a penalty, and then they woe up too fast or bend the wrong way, I mean, you're going to cause injuries. I mean, it's like calling a pass or a roughing the passer call. When a guy, like, his momentum is carrying him into the quarterback, you can tell that he eases up, but they still call it. It's just silly things like that. I didn't think it was a block. I didn't think it was a blindside block.
Mike Vrabel clearly did not agree with the call. I just don't know what you – I mean, this is what you want players to do, I thought. Like, I don't understand. It's so confusing on what they can and they can't do. I thought this is what you wanted them not to, this is the way you wanted them to hit. What did I miss on how it was incorrectly done? I don't understand it. You could see the look on Chester Rogers, like, really? Like, are you kidding me? You're calling that?
Yeah, I think what Gene Serator was saying, if you just light a guy up, even if you're going laterally, then you can still call that. But I thought he got, A, his head and shoulder in front, and B, he didn't light him up. He just brushed him. It wasn't a defenseless guy. Not even close. It was perfect technique. That cost him a touchdown, I think. That would have been first and goal at the 6 or something.
Yep.
It allowed the game to stay somewhat competitive longer than it should have. That was an absolute textbook way that you play the field position game and win with your defense, which is still unbelievable to me. When you turn back the clock a year, they couldn't play a game like that. Now that's become their bread and butter.
So I asked Derek. I texted Derek and I asked him, do you think it was the right call? Was it a blindside block or no? He said yes and no. It was slight, but legally it was by definition. That block can be career ending. That's why the definition's there. But that was ticky-tack.
I'm not sure where. It sounds like we're exactly back where we started.
Yeah, it's just very. He's explaining, you know, the kind of the definition of how it's viewed from a receiver's point of view. I mean, I get why the rule's in place. Like, I totally understand that. You know, that can be career ending to have a blindside block like that. But that to me was not egregious by any means. It could have been borderline of the definition of what the rule is, but I feel like that's one of those that one ref's going to let it go and one ref's going to throw the flag. And that's kind of what we saw yesterday. It's just kind of up for interpretation.
The Ultimate Predator on Twitter responded to our question, needs real-time game speed reps, also needs to get hit once or twice in the real situation, don't want to enter the playoffs cold. Okay, there's one perspective. Then Kim on Twitter says, absolutely not. Time for healing is more important than game reps. He's a future Hall of Fame back. He doesn't need reps. See what I mean? I mean, it just depends on who you ask.
Well, yeah, we've got several texts, too. Kim makes a point that I think is the key point. She used the word healing. If there's still healing to do, then there's no way you play him. Like, if you still think he needs to be healed up. I'm under the assumption that this decision would come down to this. It would be based on he's been cleared medically, that there's no more healing that needs to be done, that he's ready to go.
I guess I don't know if she meant that portion, like to get, you know, he's 96%, but he would be 100. I don't think she, and obviously I'm trying to read through a tweet. I think she's just saying, like, how could more time be bad?
Well, that's
more time to heal a fracture.
Because either it's ready or it's not.
How could that be bad?
If it's ready, then it's either going to hold up when you start playing or it's not.
Right.
So if it's not going to hold up, then you might as well find that out on Sunday rather than in the middle of a playoff game.
Here is an interesting, and I've seen a couple of texts on this. Frederick says it. Kathleen says it. I wouldn't play Henry because of the field turf in Houston. And was it not? I mean, it was in Indy, so that's field turf.
Yeah.
Too. I mean, that does make a difference.
Didn't really factor that in, but.
I think that is something to consider.
Does make you think, but I have never heard, until Will Carroll came on the day after he heard it in Indy and said that he had heard some things about specifically the turf in Indy. I haven't heard much of a narrative of, hey, man, this field turf, man, it's hard on the feet. Now, obviously, the old school AstroTurf,
sure.
That was, as we found out, that was just bad news.
That was laid over a parking lot. Yeah.
Never should have been cleared to begin with. That was a bad idea. But this new stuff, I don't think, is more conducive to injury, but you should unturn every stone. Right?
By the way,
in
how
theory,
were the field
may...
conditions at LP at Nissan yesterday?
Pretty tough, right?
Yeah, and they resodded.
But by the way, is it going to get better? Because it wasn't great for the Music City Bowl, and it wasn't great yesterday. And I get it; it rained all day. But the turf that it wasn't because of the rain. I don't think the field conditions were great. They weren't great on Friday, were they?
They were better. They were better than yesterday.
I heard some people talk about
that's
that.
Tennessee. If they take the field conditions,
well, and
were
they
good.
And they ended up resodding the middle and the end zones and everything. But here's it.
Tennessee will tell you the field conditions were not good at all.
Yeah,
yeah, no,
that was out there.
Got a texter that says I'm with Chris. Give him 8 to 10 carries, a couple of blocks, and then let him do the Antonio Brown. Nice. We've heard from our buddy Andrew, so I wanna read Andrew's text, plural. Guys, 8 weeks ago, y'all laughed and thought I lost my mind. Luckily, replacing even the best running back in the league isn't that hard. True, we lost long touchdowns, but 6-2 record with 935 rushing yards with Henry, 5-3 with 980 without him. We are number one. He needs game conditioning. Stop being scared, guys. Play Henry, no doubt.
I do think we should mention this team deserves a ton of credit for being able to weather the storm. I think the day after Halloween, when we were all sitting here and the news was coming in, he's out, could be season ending. Is there hope? Is there not hope? Could they get him back? I think we were all thinking, if you could just get to the playoffs and have a chance to have him come back in the playoffs, that would be a pretty darn good accomplishment. But I think, as I said last week, they've become a better team having gone through the fire here, and they've had their hiccups for sure, but they still have the clear path to the number one seed. That's a tremendous attribute to the team, itself, the coaching, the chemistry within
that.
Huh?
I don't think you need him to go beat Houston.
No, this is all about preparing your team the best you can for the playoffs. I think Julio Jones fits into this as well. What's the best way to prepare him?
Oh, stop it. Stop it.
It's not too late, man. You got him to win the Super Bowl. The real season's about to begin here.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
If you're depending on Julio Jones,
Depending on him.
Julio has been the secret weapon. Like,
I was going to say, Darrington Evans back too? You want to throw him in the mix?
He's been ruled out for the season. Julio Jones
We're going to hold you back for the regular season. It's a swerve. It's like wrestling. We're going to hold you back. But when you get to the playoffs, the music's going to hit. The smoke's going to go off.
Exactly. We're just saving you for January, man.
Listen, man. There have been people that have done absolutely zero in the regular season.
That's Julio's music.
There are people who do zero in the regular season and then make huge contributions in the postseason.
Do you want him to do LeBron James, get the chalk, throw it up in the air? You want to do that? Round two? Come out right before kickoff?
Now, you guys are missing.
Rub the hands together, throw the chalk up in the air, and everybody goes crazy.
Hey, if it works, if it helps him run better, he can do whatever he wants. All I'm saying is I didn't say count on him. I'm saying prepare him to help you. He might be able to help win a Super Bowl.
What's the difference between prepare to help or count on? Is there a difference?
You try to get him as healthy as he possibly can. If he's healthy, he's one of their best three or four receivers.
But how do you do that? We're going into week
18, and he's basically had two games. So you're counting on.
No, I said nothing about counting. I said you prepare everybody to play, just like you prepare some of the no names of the 88 names on the list, guys who we've never heard of. They had another guy yesterday force a fumble. I don't think I'd ever seen the guy before. Who was that forced the fumble? Number 95?
Well, we do this game every week.
Pecco?
Pecco. 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 Yeah, that's that. He's from San Diego.
I went and picked up some stuff for my pets over some chewy toys. At Pecco.
It's Pico, Pecco, Pekka.
I like Pico.
Is it Pekka? Kyle Pekka?
Pekka? We'll
number 30, 35, right?
Yeah.
No? 95?
Hey, Pecks.
Julio's going to walk out there in a playoff game. We're just going to have like this music just like fading.
And now.
It's not too late, man. The season's just beginning.
Well, the problem is in the middle.
People will be pulling out their programs. Who's number two? Who's number two? Who are they making a big deal of? Who's number two? Who is that?
This is
good.
Great.
Even better.
I mean, I would love it. If that happened, Sirius started playing and the smoke's going off and Julio comes strutting out there and goes for 120 yards and a touchdown.
I'm saying you don't give up on it. I think you just keep hoping
that
it'll kick in at the right time.
Nobody's saying give up on him, but let's just not throw him in the category. Like, to me, he's non-existent. And if he shows up and plays, great. But it's less like when you kept bringing up Darrington Evans, and I'm like, who? Like I'll just wait till it happens. I'm not factoring that person in. I don't factor Evans into the mix, and I'm certainly not going to factor Julio Jones in the mix because we're going into week 18. I mean, he hasn't been a factor. So if it happens, great. But Elisha, if that music is being played, to me, there is only one guy and one guy only that you play that music for the playoffs. Come on. It's not number two. There's another two after it, like that, because that's the stage that needs to be, right? If that's why this, well, yes, you get the extra week, but having home field advantage, and I know people are going to bring up, and rightfully so, it's happened twice in this market, and unfortunately, it never played out, right? It was one and done. Like, there wasn't even a conference championship game. Forget the Super Bowl. The year they went, it was all on the road, except for the first game here, the Music City Miracle, but like, having it here at home, like, this should be.
And not having to play the Ravens.
And not having to play the Ravens is going to be, I think this, I've said, because we experienced it, Willie, that they'll never be able to duplicate the past. And maybe they won't. But I'll tell you what, it's got a chance. It's got a real chance to feel like circa 20 years ago. It does. I don't know if it will. But it's got a chance. Elijah, you play that music, and Derrick Henry's making his return. We don't see him in Houston, and that's the first time you see him since the injury. It's got a chance to feel like 20 years ago. Anybody agree?
No, I agree. I think it does. I wish for this situation that, like, just for the drama of it all, that the rules, that you didn't have to designate him to return, you didn't have to announce anything. and they're doing starting lineups for the Titans at Nissan Stadium, and the PA announcer goes, "We have a late addition at running back," and that a roof would form on that place, and then it would get blown off immediately because that crowd would go nuts. But obviously, the rules are such where you can't do it that way.
You can't keep it a secret.
No,
until the PA announcer announces it.
You cannot. You have to. There's no element of surprise anymore. But it is interesting. I'm wading through all these texts. I mean, we have a ton of texts. Thank you for weighing in at 615-737-1025 on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHonda.com. And it's pretty mixed. A lot of people are like, hell no, don't play him. He doesn't need it. And then you have others that are referencing that he's historically a slow starter. So give him a handful of carries to kind of knock the rust off. Gator Tim says Derrick Henry is a slow starter historically. The Titans don't need him going 22 for 67 in the playoffs. I would definitely give him 15 carries against Houston. I don't think he's getting 15.
No. Keep those texts rolling in. Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what they're thinking. Keep them rolling in. We'll read more of them on the other side to finish at hour number one. Plus, I just received a text from one of our Silly Underdog participants. And I just want you guys to tell me what it means, okay? We'll do that on the other side. It was not in our group text. It was just to me. I'm going to read you what he said, and then let's figure out what it means. We'll do that also.
Okay.
To finish up hour number one, as you listen to the DDC right here on this snowy Monday, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
All right, let's start it off by telling you about one of the best things you can do now for the new year. It's get cash out of your home's equity with a super fast, no-cost refi from Loan Pronto. Home values are skyrocketing. Use that to your advantage by getting that cash out if you need it. Call Loan Pronto now. They can fast-track your home refi and get you a check for $50,000 or more. And if you call now, Loan Pronto can even pay your closing costs. It's easy, and you walk away with the check that you can put to use right now for what you need. Maybe it's pay off high interest credit cards for the new year. Maybe it's to consolidate other loans. Get rid of PMI charges. Get your finances in great shape for 2022. Hey, you might even want to fix up your home with a new kitchen or bath. You've got the cash to do that available to you. Your home's value is way up. Now's the time to access that equity while rates are still really low. It's easy. Call Loan Pronto. Do it now, and you can skip your next two house payments. 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780. Go to loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781. Subject to lender approval, not all loans apply.
Oh, Dare Hall and John Oates. Good music. By the way, go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out our best deals here in Nashville. Save 75% off Seafood Sensation, Bad Axe Throwing Nashville, Nashville Armory, and the Beanbag Coffee and Tea Shop. Other deals include the Woodhouse Spa, Brooklyn Bowl, and more. Check out Nashville's best deals at our website, thegamenashville.com/deals. Speaking of Brooklyn Bowl, we'll have tickets to see Gin Blossoms at Brooklyn Bowl on March 10th. But you're going to have to tell us what you know coming up in about an hour. Boy, do I have a good one. I am ready for TWIC. I am ready. Okay. Any more text that we need to read? Or do you want me to read my text?
Yeah, I got some. I got real quick. Tyler says, at this point, I have my full trust in Vrabel and his staff to make the right call with Henry. Hashtag coach of the year. Kyle says, if you think that easily replacing a Derrick Henry is easy, you have lost your mind. The rushing stats are misleading because Henry changes the way a defense plays us. His presence opens up other opportunities in our offense that other running backs do not provide.
Who was that?
Kyle.
Kyle. That's a good one, Kyle. I like it.
I think he's spot on. Randy says, check yards and yards per carry in the first couple of games of the season when not playing in preseason. He needs a few series.
Good reactions. Go ahead.
And then Keith says, can't believe they're doing this without Josh Reynolds.
Hey.
Wait, what was that again?
Hey.
Keith, you dirty dog.
Hey.
You know what they would be already if they had Josh Reynolds? They'd already have it wrapped up. It wouldn't even matter. The one seed would be done. They could sit everybody.
Maybe 13-3.
And just play Josh Reynolds and watch what he does. He'll look like Jamar Chase out there.
Can we just talk about how funny that was, though, with the referee
that
yesterday?
Was that was hysterical. And the crowd saying, hey, back.
That was so funny.
Hey!
That was so funny. I burst out laughing. I was just sitting there. Aaron and I were watching the game, and I just burst. We both just burst into laughter just immediately. Yeah. I don't know. That was so funny.
Hey.
That's funny you said that because Lauren did the same thing. She walked into the room. I was in the bonus room, and she walked in, and she's like, what are you doing? Like, I was sitting here laughing by myself. And what game was it? I was all over the place. I had it on Red Zone, so I was watching everything I could. It may have been the Dallas-Arizona game, but she just timed it up perfectly. Did you guys see the play? Was it the Green Bay game?
I saw a play.
Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm trying to figure out which game. It may have been
the play.
It may have been the Green Bay-Minnesota game. Did you see where they threw the – it was so obvious, the pass interference – and then, but there's like no call, and the receiver gets up like, what? And then all of a sudden you see a flag. Then you see another flag. Then you see another flag. Then they huddle, and the head official takes his flag out and throws it and starts laughing. And then they all start laughing, and I was laughing because you know he was like, well, we all saw the same thing. Hell, you guys threw your flag. I might as well throw my flag, too. Like, everybody threw their flag, so let me throw mine, too. And so they were all just huddled up laughing, and I was laughing, too. That was a funny moment. Anyway,
I did not see it.
Yeah. I don't remember which game it was, but pretty cool moment. So one Kelly Holcomb has weighed
in. I figured before you even read the text that it was probably Kelly.
Kelly sends me a text, not our group text. And that's what got my attention because typically, you know, we keep everything to the group text. If all the, you know, rising, everything we do is usually on the group text or congratulating or whatever, making fun of. He says to me, no question your silly underdog pick wins tonight. And so I'm thinking, so is he doing the reversal, right? Like, is he trying to play games with me? Is he trying to jinx me? And so I said, oh, are you saying that I should put money on it just to see? I just wanted to see what he would say. He said, ha ha, that's your call, big dog. He goes, but you might want to think about it. So this is the inside info. This is why I'm reading this. Kelly says he's being told that everybody is coming to the game tonight. Even Snoop Dogg, because everybody believes this is Big Ben's last game. So basically it's going to be the who's who in the house his final game.
They're still alive, technically. Cleveland is not, but Pittsburgh is still alive because of that tie. So, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I might take that advice, too.
I think I'm going to as well.
Can Snoop Dogg block? Because they might need that help.
Well, I understand, but it's also a guy that, you know, is – probably finishing up a Hall of Fame career, right? And if you know this is it, don't you? I mean, you're at home against a division rival. Don't you? I mean, I get it. He's limited. They're limited. But isn't this where you get his best? I mean, is this the swan that he waves to the crowd on the way out the door in a victory? Not like
could be
Antonio Brown, but I don't know. There may be something to that.
And regardless of their percentage chance, which is single digits, I think it's below 5%, they stay alive with the win. Now, this is one of those classic dumb and dumber, you're telling me there's a chance?
Right.
So they need to win tonight. Then they need the Jaguars to beat the Colts. That's how they stay alive. And then it comes down to who wins the Chargers against the showdown, which
the Raiders.
If the Colts win, that means Chargers-Raiders is winner in, loser out, which would be pretty dramatic.
Which that has been flexed to Sunday night.
Yeah.
So they will.
That'll be fun.
So last night when they were wrapping up, they, you know, gave the Saturday schedule and they put Cowboys-Eagles on there, which I'm like, all right, whatever. But, and that's my team. But I thought there could have been more compelling matchups. I actually thought that Titans-Texans did have a chance to get flexed to Saturday, just because they're going for the number one seed. But Raiders-Chargers on Sunday
night? But
they
don't want the drama over on Saturday, right? Wouldn't you rather have...
Yeah, keep it out there. Keep it up for grabs.
But I mean, like, are they going to move that game to Sunday afternoon possibly? Or I haven't seen anything on that yet. But, yeah, maybe. Maybe you're right. I don't know. But I like Raiders-Chargers Sunday night.
If you do it on Saturday and they win, I mean, it's all the drama's over. So, I don't know.
That part.
Yeah.
But I would say getting into the playoffs is more dramatic than number one seed.
Probably. A lot. Depends on who you ask. Is it any more important than what we believe here? Try to convince this market of that.
Yeah, true.
Bradley on Twitter says, it's a complicated and complex situation. How does Henry feel? What do doctors suggest? Does he play at the beginning or put him in for a few carries at the end with the game decided? Matt tweets, give him 15 to 20 snaps. Let him get back into the swing of things and see how his foot feels. If the game gets lopsided, then take him out and keep him from getting hurt. But 100% let him play against Houston. Still probably runs for 120 and a TD against him. Andy tweets, my vote is no. However, I do wonder if just a few carries might help his self-confidence in knowing his foot can handle game speed, cutting, etc.
You know, that's an interesting point that we haven't really talked about.
I've brought it up. These are all things that have factored in for me. It's not, can you beat the Texans without Derrick Henry? They've got a pretty good formula going right now. To me, it's all about all of these things that our listeners are mentioning piece by piece. If he's healed, if there's any question of whether he needs another week and there's more healing on the x-rays, like I'm not smart enough to know whether that's the case. I'm saying if the medical people are saying, we've been shooting for this date, he's ready to go, he's done all of the physical therapy leading up to it, the bone is healed, then I do think there is value in exactly what they're bringing up there. The cutting, the mental part of it, the going through a game situation, getting hit a little bit, cutting on it, trusting it. Because I'll tell you this, they have run the ball extremely well despite not having him. The other guys have done a very admirable job, but allow yourself to think about this. How many of those 160s, 180s, 200-yard games might Derrick Henry have had a healthy the way they're blocking? The way they're blocking it up right now.
We'll come back. We'll talk with TD for the second hour of Darren Donick and Chase next.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.